Welcome to our first service here at GBC for the year 2021. I hope you guys are doing okay. I know we're still in the middle of this lockdown, but for a few more weeks. But hopefully things will turn around. Even though, it looks like the numbers for COVID are still going up in Ontario. But let's keep praying that God will, heal, and God will guide people so that these numbers will start to go down. So now, for the majority, for the majority of human beings around the world, the year 2020 was a year to forget. From the coronavirus to, Trump to racial tensions in America, to giant killer hornets, to earthquakes and volcanic eruptions, to the deaths of the hosts of Jeopardy, to the death of the Black Panther, even to the death of the Black Mamba, and the approximately 1.8 million who died because of COVID. 2020 was a year to forget. Our website even posted some quotes that I quote, sum up how we feel about this past year or the year 2020. Here are some of the quotes about 2020. And I quote, "It's the first time in history we can save the human race by laying in front of a TV and doing nothing. Let's not screw this up." Somebody actually wrote that regarding 2020. Or, "The only thing that I gained in 2020 was was weight." So for a lot of people, that was true, especially now, when we're locked down, all we do is pretty much snack and watch TV. Or, "If 2020 was a person, it would be Janice from Friends." I don't know if you guys watch Friends, but Janice was the girlfriend of Chandler who had this annoying laugh. But anyway, some people think 2020 was that annoying. "So far, 2020 is like looking both ways before you cross the street and then getting hit by an airplane." So 2020, for a lot of people, felt like that. It was, it was unexpected. It hit us hard. And for a lot of people, it was a year to forget. And 2020 may have been a very historical year in terms of the events that took place, and I'm talking about the bad events. But it was really that bad for me. For me, it wasn't really that bad. But for a lot of people, it was. I was talking to Jesse earlier this morning. There's this commercial online by Match.com. I don't know if you know Match.com. It's a dating service, okay? So there's this commercial in Match.com where the year 2020 was portrayed by a single lady, and the year her match, or she got matched to the devil or Satan. So some people think that 2020 was that bad to match it with the devil. But was it really that bad that we should just forget about it in order for us to move on? Was 2020 that kind of a year? It was so bad that we should just forget about it so that we can move on? Or can we take some lessons from 2020 that will help us move forward? Our text this morning will help us answer those questions. Okay, because if you really put it into perspective, 2020 wasn't really that bad. There were years, when the world wars were happening that I think were worse. But for a lot of people who are living nowadays, it's, a modern society that we're living in, I think we're so used to, having it so easy and having it everything work out that, something that happens that is as big as a pandemic will kind of ruin a whole year. But again, is it something that, we can just forget about 2020 so that we can move forward? Or can we learn some things about 2020 to help us move forward? So our text will help us with that. Let's go on to our text. And by the way, we're back to our study of the Philippians. It's just God, by God's grace, We ended the last time we were in Philippians, we ended in verse 11. So right now we're going to jump off our study or start our study again in verse 12. So let's read verses 12 to 16 one more time. Philippians 3, 12 to 16. Not that I've already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. So now, we haven't done this in a while, so before we dig into these verses, let's get the context. Where is this verse in terms of the context of Philippians 3? And for that, we need to go look back. How far back do we need to look? Our clues are in our text. So in verse 12, the first part of verse 12 says what? Not that I've already obtained this or am already perfect. That's Paul saying, right? So what context is he saying that in? So the question that we need to ask to determine the context is, what is this? So when Paul says, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, when you read that and you want to figure out what the context is, you ask the question, what is this? What is the this in verse 12, and I think if you go back a couple of verses in verses 10 and 11, you'll see what the this is, all right? So let's read verses 10 and 11. Verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. So again, what is the this in verse 12 that Paul has yet to attain? According to verse 10 and 11, is that this is becoming like Christ in death, or becoming like Christ, period. Attaining the resurrection from the dead. That's what verses 10 and 11 talks about. In other words, Paul is talking about the fullness of Christian maturity, or the fullness of Christian growth. So when you think about that, us growing as believers has an end to it. There is an end goal to the growth of believers. And Paul just mentions it right here. The fullness of Christian growth is to become like Christ. Okay, to become like Christ in his death and to become like Christ in his resurrection. That's the fullness of Christian growth. Once you reach that, you've made it. Okay, you've made it as a believer. But Paul is saying in verse 12, I'm not there yet, I haven't made it yet, but that's what he's talking about. To make it as a believer, to get to the end of our journey as Christians, we need to reach the Christian maturity. It's to reach the fullness of Christian growth, which means to be like Christ in death and in resurrection. All true believers are on this journey of becoming a new being, right? I know if 1 Corinthians says that we are already new creatures, but really we're on our way to become that, to become a new being. Now this journey begins with God's gift of faith, and through this saving faith, a believer is then slowly transformed into this new being. Now what is this new being? This new being is no longer flesh, it is spirit in a glorified body. That's the new being that ultimately all true believers will become. If you persevere, or when you persevere as a believer, you become this new being at the end. So you're a spirit in a glorified body. There's no more flesh involved. So if you are a true believer, this is your destiny. Or in other words, let me use a word that a lot of believers or a lot of evangelicals know. You were predestined to become this new being. If you're a true believer, you are predestined to become this new being. And the Bible tells us that there's already one. There's already somebody who is like this. There's already a being like this that's already existing. And in fact, he was the first one to exist as that, that as this new being. And all of those who believe in him will who follow him will be just like him. Where can we see that? In Romans 8:29. Romans 8:29 says, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be what? Conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers." So Jesus was the first one to die, first one to get a glorified body and get resurrected. That's the new being that we're going to be as believers. And that's what the new being that Paul is talking about here in Philippians 3. Also in Philippians 3, 20 to 21, it says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him to subject all things to himself." So when the fullness of the Christian journey or the Christian life ends, comes to an end, this is what we will become. We will become conformed to the image of Christ. So where Christ is or who Christ is now, we will be. Right? All believers are predestined to be conformed to that image. And the evidence or the sign that you are one of these new beings or you're becoming one of these new beings is your continuous growth to becoming more and more like Christ. So how do we know that if we're on our way to that? If we're, am I on that journey to become a new being? Is that, are you growing? That's what you should ask. Are you growing in faith? Are you growing to become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what Paul is talking about in our text here in the first part of verse 12 in chapter 3 of the Philippians. And Paul is saying that even though his maturity as a believer and as a follower of Christ, even though he's ahead of most Christians when it comes to his maturity, he's not there yet, right? He's not there yet, so he keeps on pressing on to make it a reality. He's not there yet. Why? Because he's still alive. He's not dead yet. But once he dies, the death like Christ did, that died, and then he's resurrected, the way Christ is resurrected, then he can say he's already there. But for right now, in verse 12 here in chapter 3, Paul is saying, I'm not there yet. Again, verse 12a. "Not that I have already obtained this." I'm not there yet. I'm not yet resurrected. I haven't died and become resurrected yet. "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect," right? "But I press on to make it my own." Okay, I press on. What does Paul do? Okay, knowing that he's not there yet, but that he's gonna get there, Paul presses on to make it his own, to make it his own. So when he says that, he doesn't mean that he's going to save himself. Okay, he doesn't mean that his pressing on is what's going to get him there. And we'll get to that part later on. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. But knowing or realizing that, you know, his journey as a believer is not yet finished, Paul continues, presses on, right? That word or that phrase, presses on, in the Greek is the word dioko, which literally means to pursue or to aggressively chase after. It's like a hunter pursuing a catch or a prize. That's what Paul is doing. Knowing that he's not there yet, even though he's already mature as a believer compared to everybody else, Paul continues to press on. He aggressively chases after his destiny as a believer. Now, notice the reason, okay? The reason for Paul's aggressive pursuit. Why is he pursuing so aggressively? Why is his wording so urgent in this verse in chapter 3 and verse 12? Check out the next part of verse 12. So again, verse 12, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own." Why? Because Jesus Christ had made me his own. So Paul pressing on aggressively, pursuing conformity to Christ, is because, Paul's own words, Christ Jesus made him his own. What do you think Paul means by this? So for Paul, his aggressive pursuit of becoming like Christ, first of all, it's not like a wild goose chase, okay? Where, you know, when you get to the end, you find nothing, okay? Paul is assured, he is convinced that at the end of this pursuit, he will finally attain or he will finally receive what he has been longing for. And what is it that he has been longing for his whole life? You can see it in verse 8, same chapter. Check out verse 8. The last part of verse 8 says, the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ. So for Paul, the ultimate knowing Christ, the ultimate of, you know, knowing who Jesus Christ is to be like him in death and in resurrection. Once you have gone through all that, Paul says, then yes, now I know Christ. Now I know what he went through. Now I know how he was resurrected. I know how I experienced it. And at the same time, he's there together with Christ. So for him, that was the object of the pursuit, to know Christ and to know him so intimately that you experience his death as well as his resurrection. That's Paul's goal. That's why he's pursuing. He's convinced that at the end of his pursuit, he will actually receive that. He will actually attain ultimate knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? It's like this. It's like for my favorite basketball player is Michael Jordan. Okay, I know for a lot of kids out there, it's about LeBron and Kobe. No, it was about all about Michael Jordan. And every year, if you watch Jordan's reign as a champion, every year his only goal every season, the NBA season starts, his only goal is to win a championship. If he doesn't win a championship, that NBA season is scrapped. For Michael, it was only the championship or nothing else. If he doesn't win, the season is scrapped. For Paul, he had the same focus. Okay, same focus. But unlike Jordan, whose pursuit of an NBA championship may or may not come to fruition, Paul's pursuit of Christ is guaranteed. Right? That's why he's pursuing so urgently, because he knows it's there. It's going to be there when he gets there. It is a guaranteed pursuit of his goal. Why? Because according to, again, Philippians 3, because Christ has already pursued him. Christ has already made him his own. So in when Paul says in verse 12 that even though, you know, he has yet to obtain conformity with Christ, he presses on aggressively to make it his own. And then he says the reason for this, or his assurance for that, is because Christ has already made him his own. What does that mean? Let me read to you a comment from Gordon Fee. He has a book on the Philippians, and he comments this. Paul's point, as always, is that Christ's work is the prior one, and that all his own effort is simply in response to and for the sake of that prior apprehension of him by Christ Jesus, my Lord. So in other words, you know, what Paul is saying is that part of the evidence that a believer is slowly growing in conformity with Jesus is having the same sense of urgency and a hunger to pursue. Okay? To pursue conformity with Christ the way Jesus pursued us, or pursued, in this case, Paul. So Paul is saying, the reason that I'm pursuing this way is because Christ pursued me first, or he pursued me in this way as well. So becoming like him would be to do the same thing, to pursue in a way that Jesus pursued. So this pursuit, this chasing after, this pressing on, manifests itself in the life of a believer. How? A few ways. Through a hunger and desire to learn more about Christ through Bible reading and study. How do you pursue Christ nowadays? Through the reading of his word, through the study of his word. So if you're doing that, if that is a desire of yours, if there's a hunger for you to learn more about Christ, then that's it. You are pressing on, just like what Paul is doing. You can also pursue Christ through discussions and fellowship. Through discussions and fellowship. Some people, when you know, the topic becomes you know, about Christianity or about Christ, they lose interest. But for those of us who are pressing on, for those of us who has the same urgency as Paul to pursue Christ, when we discuss about Christ, that's when we wake up. That's when we actually, you know, are interested. And not only through the discussions, but also through the fellowship. Remember what we talked about, what fellowship is? Last week, it is an encouraging of believers. How? Through the preaching of hope in Christ or hope in God. That's what fellowships are all about. So some people, again, when the discussions turn into that, they start, you know, okay, that's good, that's good. And they start changing the topic. But for those of us who are pressing on, for those of us who are pursuing Christ, the more the discussion is about Christ, the more we're interested, the more we find it important. How else? Through obedience in ministry. Right? Through obedience in ministry, through service in the church, or through service even outside of the church. For those of you who are, you know, longing to be missionaries and things like that, right? Church planners and things like that. Or through discipleship, you know, through the sharing of your life with another believer or with, you know, somebody from church who is a new believer. That's a pursuit of Christ because that's what Christ did when he was still alive here in church. He was still alive here on earth. He made disciples. How else can you say that you're pursuing Christ? Through giving and sacrifice. Right? So when you give, it's a sacrificial giving. Not just your money, but your time, your effort. When you do that, you are pursuing conformity with Christ. And how else? Through forgiving. Somebody does you wrong, you know, instead of taking revenge, instead of, you know, avenging yourself, you forgive, you love your enemies, just like what Christ has taught us. What else? Forbearing. Forbearing with others. So forbearing, again, is a withholding of what, you know, people deserve. So if they deserve to be yelled at or to, you know, to be rebuked or to be corrected, sometimes we need to forbear. Yes, sometimes you need to rebuke and discipline and correct, but sometimes you also need to forbear, to show grace when grace is needed. And lastly, how do you show or how do you know that, you know, this pursuit of Christ is manifesting in your life? By loving others. It's probably the hardest one. But when you think about, again, Jesus and who he was, he loved everybody enough to die for them on the cross, die for us, all of us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. These are the manifestations of what Paul is talking about when he says, I press on to make it my own. I press on to conformity with Christ. And again, these are manifestations. These are evidences that Paul is saved. This is not what saved Paul or what's saving us today. These are evidences. These are manifestations of it. Okay, so let's not think of these as, okay, I have to do this, this, and this so that I can be saved. No. If you're saved, then you should be doing this, this, and this. You know what I'm saying? You should be growing in faith, and in that growth, you should be manifesting these things. And the more we manifest Christ-like characteristics, the more we are continuing to grow in the grace and knowledge of God through Christ. And again, the fuel for that kind of Christian growth is a clear understanding, first of all, of the gospel and how God pursued us through the news that because of his great love, he sent his one and only son to die on the cross as our substitute. Okay. Paul says, I pursue, I press on to make it my own. Why? Because Christ made me his own. The reason for his pursuit is because he understood, man, God pursued me. God pursued me to the point of what? Sending his own son to die on the cross for my sake. So When we have that kind of understanding of the gospel, the more urgency we have in the pursuit of conformity with the Lord Jesus Christ, in the pursuit of making that our own, until that day actually happens when we die, the way Christ died physically and are resurrected the way Christ was resurrected. Only at that point can we say, I already have it. I already have it. But now we make it our own. We show evidences of it. By how? By pressing on. Pressing on, showing Christ-like characteristics, growing into more Christ-like characteristics as we keep on walking, as we keep on our journey towards Christian maturity. Okay? So now back to our text, verse 12. So Paul is saying that even though he just said in verses 10 and 11 that knowing Christ and gaining Christ through the resurrection from the dead is his goal that he has yet to attain, he is assured that he will attain these goals because Christ has already made him his own. Now the question is this: how does Paul go about pursuing conformity to Christ based on our text? How does Paul go about pursuing conformity with Christ based on the text? Check out 13 and 14. It says here, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. And again, what he's talking about there is conformity with Christ in death, okay, and in the resurrection. But one thing I do, what does he do? How does he do this? How does he make it his own? One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. And then the 14 says, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So Paul says, like in verse 13 specifically, that in his pursuit of conformity with Christ, in his pressing on, he does not consider that he has made it. Meaning he knows that he's not there yet, despite the fact that he's more spiritually mature than everybody else. But the one thing that he does in this pursuit is to what? To forget what lies behind and strain forward to what lies ahead. What lies ahead is what? The prize of the upward call of God in Christ. So if you were to paraphrase that, Paul's spiritual growth strategy, okay, because that's what we're talking about. The pursuit of conformity to Christ manifests itself in our growth, right? Spiritual growth. His strategy, Paul's strategy in spiritual growth is, number one, to forget what lies behind. Forget what lies behind. Continue to focus forward. Continue to focus forward. Forget looking back. Okay, that's Paul's spiritual growth strategy. Now, when you read that, when I read that, there's a problem with that. There's a problem with that. Why? Because despite what Paul is saying here in Philippians 3, you know, the Bible also teaches us to remember. In fact, there's a lot of text. I'm going to give you some text to read where the Bible tells us to remember. Don't just forget everything. There's a, you know, the Bible teaches us to remember, right? Deuteronomy 6:12. If you go to Deuteronomy 6:12, it says, then take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. So Deuteronomy 6:12 says, remember. Don't forget. Isaiah 46:9. Remember the things, or the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. Isaiah teaches, remember. Don't forget. Psalm 77:11. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. The psalmist teaches us, remember. Ecclesiastes 12:1. Remember also your creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Solomon teaches us, remember. Ephesians 2:11 to 13. It says, therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision But what is called the circumcision? Remember, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ. And this is Paul. This is Paul teaching us to remember. Remember to the Ephesians, remember that you were separated from Christ. Remember that you were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. Remember that you were strangers to the covenants of promise. Remember you had no hope. And remember that you were without God in the world. Paul is telling us here, remember all these things. And then he reminds us as well, in 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. But again, the point there is, Paul's teaching is to remember these things. Even though they were bad things, he's telling us to remember those things. At the same time, realize where we're at now. Right? 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 25. We're going to read this later again. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in what? Remembrance of me. And then he took this cup the same way, after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So the Bible is clear that remembering is good, right? Remembering is good. And I'm sure that Paul in Philippians 3:13 is not going against his own teaching, or is not going against the teaching of others in Scripture. So what does Paul mean when he says that, you know, one thing he does in pursuit of conformity to Christ is to forget what lies behind? Does the Bible also teach that? Does the Bible also teach about forgetting stuff, the way Paul does here, teaches here in Philippians 3:13. Let's check it out. Luke 9:61 to 62. Yet another I said, and this is Jesus, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. 62. Then Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. So even Christ taught us through the Gospels, well, you know what? Don't look back. Keep going forward. So right now, when you look at these verses and you look at these, you know, scripture passages, both for remembering and at the same time, both for forgetting or not looking back, it's pretty clear that the Bible teaches both. The Bible teaches don't look back, forget what lies behind, and strain forward to what lies ahead. But also, hey, remember, look back. So how are we to understand what Paul meant in verse 13? Okay. How is it? How do we read that? How do we read verse 13? How do we understand it? Does Paul... it's pretty much saying, you know, forget about all these verses about remembering and just forget it. Don't look back on it and just keep moving forward. Is that how we're supposed to understand it? Again, when we read the Bible, context is key. Or some people, context is king to understanding this verse. So, within the context of chapter 3, from verses 10 to verse 13. Again, the main aim of the Apostle Paul is to encourage Philippian believers to what? Continue in their growth in faith. How? By continuing to know Christ through their obedience. That's been the theme of chapter 3. Know Christ, grow in Christ through what? Obedience, and continue this. Continue to strain forward, continue towards the goal of becoming more and more Christ-like. That's the goal of the Christian life. And then Paul says, and again in chapter 3, and becoming like Christ is the destiny of the Christian in death. So your goal in life is to continue to live the life that Christ lived so that you will receive the prize of dying the way Christ died and being resurrected the way Christ was resurrected. That's the goal or the destiny of the Christian life when it comes to death when it comes to the end of our journey. That's the context in which Paul is writing verse 13. So when we think about that, okay, Paul's main goal is thinking growth, 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 so we can attain death and resurrection. Growth, 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 manifest Christ in our everyday living so that we know we're headed the right way in our journey. And then when we get there, we attain death and resurrection. That's where we receive the prize. That's Paul's thinking, right? Verse 13. So straining forward, or again, is the goal of Paul here. So if that's Paul's strategy, okay, if Paul's strategy to do that, okay, is to forget what lies behind and strain forward to what lies ahead, what is it that we should be forgetting? Okay? Because again, Bible teaches, remember these things. Paul's saying, no, forget some things and keep straining forward. What is it that we should continue to remember? And what is it that we should forget? And how do we reconcile that Paul's teaching in verse 13 with the other teachings in Scripture? Okay? So let's look at the picture that Paul is painting here. Okay? Within the context, Paul is trying to paint us a picture of a race. He's running this race to get to the prize, to get to the goal. That's the context, well, not the context, but the picture that Paul is trying to paint for us in chapter 3. He's running this race in order to win the prize. Now, in a race, I don't know if you've ever been in a race, it is to your advantage to continue to focus on the finish line instead of worrying about who is behind you or who is beside you. Okay? I've been in a race. I've been in a few races. Okay? In swimming, running. Okay? What your job as an athlete or as the racer is to get to the end. That's your job. Don't worry about who's beside you or behind you. Don't worry about those people or who's in front of you. Just keep looking towards the goal and try your best to get to the end. Right? That's in a regular race. If you lose focus on that, if you continue to focus on one person or the other. There have been many races lost that way. There have been many races lost because someone or the guy who's running the race kept looking behind, to the side, instead of just focusing on the front, focusing all their effort to get to the finish line. So that's what Paul is telling us in verse 13. Okay, Paul is not telling us to forget everything. Okay? He's not telling us to forget everything, obviously, because the Bible teaches and he teaches that we should remember certain things. But what Paul is telling us to forget are the things that will hinder our progress in our pursuit of Christ's likeness and growth. So anything that will stop you or that will hinder your forward movement, Paul is saying forget those things. Okay? Whatever those things are, forget those things. Stop looking back on those things. Just focus on the goal, okay? But at the same time, your focus on the goal, as you focus on the goal, you should remember the things that will get you there, right? Remember the things that brought you to the race. Remember the practices. Remember the training that got you there. In this sense, remember the gospel. Remember the goodness of God. Remember all those things that will help you towards the goal. But the things that will hinder you from getting to the goal, forget those things. Right, that's why if you were here last week, my message last week was about the things I learned during 2020 that helped me see God's goodness despite all the bad things that happened last year. Because for me, seeing God's goodness despite the bad things helps bolster my faith even more. That's how I see it. That God is working despite whatever I'm seeing in front of me. So even if the one in front of me is disaster and you know, COVID and all these things, behind the scenes, God is still working. God is still God. He is still faithful. Seeing that and focusing on that helps me, helps bolster my faith even more. And it is something that I know that I will need coming into another year, right? Not because we're in 2021, doesn't mean this whole year will be perfect. You know, like all the bad things happened last year. Now we get a break and we get this whole year to be perfect. No, there's still going to be problems. There's still going to be issues happening in 2021. So we still need that kind of mentality to see God's goodness, even though, you know, what we're seeing physically is bad. Is bad, right? Let's check out the next verse, 15 and 16, chapter 3. It says, look, let those who of us who are what? Mature think this way. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. What's Paul saying? You know what? Maturity comes, Christian maturity comes when you're able to do that. When you're able to, you know, ignore the things that are holding you back and not look back on those things, but instead see God's faithfulness, see God's goodness in your moving forward. But at the same time, as you move forward, how do you see God's goodness? By remembering what He has done for you in the past. That's when Christian maturity comes, right? Christian maturity is a remembering of the things that will help strengthen our faith in God. That is what the gospel is all about, and that is what the Lord's Supper is all about. That's why we do those things. That's why you preach the gospel to yourself every single week, so that you can remember, and that remembering helps fuel your moving forward, right? But at the same time, we need help in forgetting the things that will hinder our growth. We need to stop worrying about these other things that are hindering or just taking our focus away from the prize, okay? Some examples of that, like for some people, it's like wallowing in past sins. You know, when you wallow in past sins, like you know what that says about you as a believer? Wallowing in past sins means that you're not truly believing that you've been forgiven. You know, Bible says, 1 John 1:9, what? If you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive. And when you wallow in it, when you keep thinking about it, the way Judas did, right? That's why he killed himself, because he kept thinking about, oh man, I did something bad. He ended up killing himself. He's wallowing in past sins. Some people are like that. They keep wallowing on these past sins that, you know, they've asked forgiveness for it, but they've really been, they're not convinced they've been forgiven. I mean, there's a lot of reasons for that. Some people, the reason why they're doing that is because they keep doing the sin over and over again. But if there's a struggle, but it's just hard for you to overcome, what does the Bible say? Ask, confess it. Confess it to God, and He will be faithful and just to forgive. And you have to believe that. And when you believe that, that's the freedom that you will, that's the freedom that you need in order to get rid of that, whatever that past sin is that keeps bothering you, that keeps holding you back from, you know, moving forward. For some people, it's that. For some people, it's, continuing to remember the wrong that somebody did to them instead of forgiving. Some people, that's what's holding you back. Instead of just forgiving others what they've done to you, you keep holding on to that grudge. You keep holding on to the anger. You keep remembering the fact that, hey, man, I haven't avenged myself. God hasn't avenged me. What is going on? That's the things that Paul's saying. You know what? Leave those things behind. By faith, trust that God is the one who will avenge. And just leave those things behind and be able to, what? Forgive. Because if you don't, if you keep remembering these things, you're never going to move forward. These are the things that will not only hinder your growth in faith, but will rob you of the joy that God has in store for you in obedience and in forgiveness. And 2020, again, has been a pretty interesting year. Lots of bad things took place, but please don't lose sight of the good. Just like what I said last week, don't waste last year, don't waste 2020's experiences, and learn to see God's goodness in them by faith, whether in the good or in the bad experience. And through it all, when you remember those things, remember the good things, remember the things that can fuel you to move forward, and so that this year you will continue to press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Again, Paul says, those who are mature, think that way. Those who are immature, keep looking back. Keep looking back, either what people did to them or what they haven't done that they're supposed to do. And again, that's not a good understanding of the gospel. It's not a good understanding of, you know, why you're pursuing to, why you're running this race to begin with. The Bible says, and Paul says, I know, I pursue, I press on to make it my own. What is the it? Conformity to the Lord Jesus Christ. I pressed on to make that my own. Why? Because I have an example in Christ. Christ made me his own. And in his pursuit, in that attitude of love and humility and pursuit, I do the same thing as I become more and more like Christ. That's what Paul is teaching us here in these verses. So I hope this new year will be another year of that, of pressing on, because we know that Christ made us his own. We press on to make it our own, to become more and more like him. And again, all of us are in different stages, all of us in different levels of maturity when it comes to our spiritual lives. If you think or if you don't see that in yourself yet, there is hope, right? Ask God and he will reveal this truth to you also. That's what it says, right? Verse 15 and 16. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if anything you think otherwise, God will also reveal that to you. Only let us hold true to what we've attained. So the fact that you still believe, the fact that you're still struggling to move forward is positive. Okay? You should be thankful for that, because sooner or later, God will help you inch forward all the way to maturity. That's the destiny of true believers. We will all become conformed to the image of Lord Jesus Christ. We will all be like him in death and in the resurrection. So again, let's hope for a better 2021. How? By looking back and learning from 2020. Right? I hope that that's the prayer, and that's the hope of each and every one of you listening to this right now. Amen. Let's pray.